Today on Compassion Radio.
If there's danger between Sunnis of different brands or Kurds or other people that are crammed in the same space that don't want to talk to each other or don't know how, they will literally trust those Christian workers among them to bring a message or extend an olive branch between communities or someplace to send their kids. They can't bring themselves to go mingle with people of other cultures. But they know their kids need a safe place to have a meal and learn their letters. Mm-hmm. They'll send their children together and mix with children of other religions. And the Christians are there showing them the way.
Yes, they're the ones providing those places for these children.
Hello and welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Well, it's Monday, and that means it's time for Chasing the Word Together. In this weekly series, Bram and his wife Sandy take us on a journey into the lives of the earliest Christians with a look at what it means to have an authentic, world-changing faith. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Acts chapter 18, and we'll get started.
My heart aches now because I just think about, as we're recording this program, Syria is being ripped to shreds again. Mm-hmm. And that whole region, which included a lot of what is now part of Israel and Lebanon and southern Turkey and western Iraq, was at that time all part of the greater Syrian district. It was a powerful and important center for culture throughout the entire Middle East. It was the hub. Mm. There's about to be more rending of things happening in Paul's story and things that happened in Syria. He was being obedient to God's call to go there. I wonder today, honey, about the call to go. We know some dear, dear people and even in the middle of all the conflict renewed within Syria, even with the fear of ISIS prisoners being released and thrown again into the mix of warfare, even at the threat of nation states collapsing again, There are still dear people that love Jesus that are willing to go. Mm-hmm. And they're going right now.
Yes.
And you were just reading to me earlier this morning about what's happening with the new influx of refugees running from northeastern Syria all the way across the country to find some refuge again in Lebanon, in the Bekaa Valley, where both of us have been in the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. That's happening again right now because of the invasion of Turkey going into the Kurdish territories. Mm-hmm. And now we have a new population, not just of the Idlib and northern territories of Syria or the Damascus refugees, but now Kurds and other Iraqis being chased out of the northeast part of the country. Mm-hmm. This isn't a melting pot. This is a boiling stew of humanity that's being chased into Lebanon again.
And we need to realize that winter is quickly approaching. And winter there can be devastating when there isn't enough blankets, when there isn't enough oil for the heaters and the lamps, when there isn't enough shelter. It's going to be a really rough winter for many of these people.
And we know from having been there, the stories of those who survived fires that happened in the camps because of how close the proximity is and how a fire could catch on a tent and rage through there like wildfire.
Yes.
There are all kinds of dangers facing these people again. I don't know how we're going to do it right now, but Compassion Radio has to be involved again. We have great partners there.
Yes.
Part of our year-end givings has to be dedicated towards helping the partners we know that are doing the essential things to bring Jesus to the center of the tent.
Yes.
Literally, the Christians are known for being the Christians because they're the ones that will walk in there no matter who's there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, as we know, the Christians are used as emissaries between communities within the camps. Mm-hmm. If there's danger between Sunnis of different brands or Kurds or other people that are crammed in the same space that don't want to talk to each other or don't know how, they will literally trust those Christian workers among them to bring a message or extend an olive branch between communities. Mm-hmm. Or someplace to send their kids. They can't bring themselves to go mingle with people of other cultures. But they know their kids need a safe place to have a meal and learn their letters. Mm-hmm. They'll send their children together and mix with children of other religions. And the Christians are there showing them the way.
Yes, they're the ones providing those places for these children.
That will become part of our mix for our year in giving as our Compassion Radio team gives generously over this season of giving to find a way to help not just the refugees in their physical needs, but to help the Christians who are actually going to Syria, going to Lebanon, going to those places where war is still ripping apart society. Mm-hmm. And in the name of Jesus, feeding the children and teaching them what they need to know and being willing to share openly about this Isa that has transformed their lives. Mm-hmm. That's how the real evangelism in the Muslim world is happening today.
Well, the gal that I met when I was in Lebanon walks into the tent cities and says to them as she walks in, I greet you in the name of Jesus, in the name of Isa. They welcome her there because they know she is the real deal and she will love them and provide whatever she can for them and help them.
That God will raise up many more of those.
Yes.
And we also know that because of that witness and testimony of especially women who are going into the center of the families where they're not a threat to the men, to sit down and have tea with them and to hold the children and to help get the medicine as necessary and just to pray with them over their sick family or those they've lost or don't know if they're alive still, praying for those back in territories where there's still conflict going on. They have great access to the hearts and minds of the families. And many of those women who are patriarchs of their families are quietly taking up the torch and following Isa within their own tent and praying to Isa, pledging their lives, their honors, their families to that. That's where the biggest transformations I'm seeing in this generation are happening is right in the middle of the tent. In a lot of ways, it's probably the safest way to go because the children are in their care. And the men don't have to face that question, but they also go home and hear the stirrings within their wives' hearts. And in the privacy that they have, women speak with a lot of authority to their husbands. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised about hearing how frank the women can be with their husbands in private.
Right.
There are all kinds of ways where women are now evangelizing the men who might have been soldiers on a run from a faction who have now come to join them in the refugee camps that are hearing about Jesus.
That's right.
And responding, not just hearing.
Yes. Exactly.
Here's the last part of this chapter, Paul's third missionary journey. After spending some time there in Antioch, he left and traveled through the territory of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening and encouraging all the disciples. So this missionary journey is about going back and seeing what God has done in the time since. It's a missionary journey of multiplication. The first two journeys seem to be about planting the seeds and seeing if there'll be enough waterers to keep those plants growing in the fields of faith. Now he gets to go back and see what God has done.
Kind of a reunion in some ways.
With those who remain, of course.
Right.
Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent and cultured man and well-versed in the Hebrew scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord and being spiritually impassioned, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things about Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John, meaning John the Baptist. And he began to speak boldly and fearlessly in the synagogue. So think about that. It's like a second wave. He knew of the disciples and the history of John the Baptizer. Perhaps he was part of a study group that came up from Alexandria and joined an Essene group, perhaps in the eastern part of what is now Israel or Jordan, and studied under those disciples of John the Baptist. So we learned all about the way of the Messiah because they were focused on looking forward to the Messiah.
Well, and those guys could have been part of the diaspora that had gone out in the first wave of persecutions in Jerusalem.
Very much so. The point is, Apollos knew the scriptures, studied them, believed them, and then pursued them, saying, what can I learn from? Well, I've heard that this bunch of people has really seen a big revival happen in the Holy Land. So he went there to learn from them, is what they're saying. So wherever he found them, he studied under John the Baptist. By the time he's studying under him, he's already gone to glory because he's probably already been assassinated by King Herod. So he's a second generation seeker who finds the power of the word there and believes it. And now he's with the folks in the synagogues around the empire, traveling lecturer. But he's not part of the body of Jerusalem and knew Jesus in the first person. He is a second-generation believer.
Okay.
But speaking boldly and fearlessly in the synagogue, when he got to Priscilla and Aquila, they heard him, and they took him aside and explained more accurately to him the way of God.
And fully, my translation says, so that he got the full picture of the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus.
And the full story of the life of Christ, it says in my translation. So in other words, Paul and the others in that group, including Luke probably, sat down with Priscilla and Aquila and really told them what happened step by step, year by year, through all of the phases of Jesus' ministry and what it really meant and why it was so radical. Why it was so transformational.
How exciting for Apollos to get that. I mean, what a gift from God that he was able to come into this place, come into Ephesus. And we just see that serendipity of it all and how God just arranges all of the pieces. And we don't often see in our own lives even how all the pieces are falling into place. And then it gets there. And it's like God has prepared us for this time to know him more fully. And I think that's what's happening with Apollos here. And he is exploding with excitement.
And for me, he's the first example in this book of what we're doing right now. Mm. He chased the word.
Very good.
And he went as far as the Roman Empire would take him to find anybody who could show him the way. And he met the people along the way, divine appointments, serendipity, we call it, where he met people that God had prepared for him to learn from. Mm-hmm. And an eloquent man who has studied and is probably a lecturer, a professor, a student, a scholar, sits at the foot of a tent maker's stall and says, teach me everything you know about Jesus. That tells me that not only is he learned, but he's humble.
He's humble. He's
That's important, because how can you really truly be a leader in the kingdom without being a servant first? Mm-hmm. Something about his spirit just resonated with that truth, even without having to be told it.
It's important to have a teachable spirit.
Yeah. And he was. He seemed to be very teachable.
Yes.
And when Apollos wanted to go across to Achaia, southern Greece, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there, urging them to welcome him gladly. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who through grace had believed already and had followed Jesus as Lord and Savior, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public discussions, proving by scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. In other words, he knew his Bible. Mm-hmm. He knew all the scrolls. He probably knew all the different translations. He knew the Septuagint, which was the first and earliest of the Greek translations, so he could speak well to the Greeks. Mm-hmm. He probably read fluently in Aramaic and maybe even in the Middle Hebrew. He knew the word. And so when he saw a word that said, ah, that rings of Messiah, he could go right to the scroll and say, it says here that. All of those prophecies that we go through and catalog and have so well organized today, you can look up on the internet any day you want. Mm-hmm. He was the internet of the day. He had a full Wikipedia of Jesus in his brain, and he used it to great effect.
Well, I love that he goes to this place, to Achaia, because that's where Paul had been before and had to leave. And they wanted him to stay, and he couldn't stay, or he wouldn't stay. He was led away from there and then went up to Jerusalem and then on to Antioch and did his third missionary journey. So there was need for someone like Apollos there, and he filled that need. He went to where God called him to go to fill a need. Again, I love how God prepares who he wants for where he wants.
And letters are flying between these groups
Absolutely.
Of people. We don't know all the ways that Paul and Barnabas, the others, discovered the work of Apollos. Mm. Because now we have an omniscient view. We're at the 30,000-foot look down. Mm-hmm. The rest of the story has been literally following Paul and the other apostles through the streets. And now suddenly we have this multi-layered story. Here's Apollos going that way. We hear about what the disciples did and recommended him and blessed him and sent him on because he had followed and probably accepted at his face value and into his heart what Priscilla and Aquila had put into him. Mm-hmm. In other words, Apollos was discipled by disciples.
Right.
And now he took all of that knowledge that God had given him before, and it's been transformed into power. And they're setting him out saying, yeah, he knows his word. He's not going to mess up the word of God while he's preaching. But he also now has the power of Jesus. Mm-hmm. The spirit of Christ is in him now. Let's send him on to help the others like he's helped us. So they're now sending out apostles. It's not just Jerusalem anymore. Mm. These bodies around the Roman Empire that were planted by Paul are now sending.
That is a great point.
So this is the next generation.
Yes.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Coming up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria as they chase the word together here on Compassion Radio.
Hi, friends. Here's a quick update on our growth goals for the rest of 2019. To start with, a big thank you to all who responded to our summer challenge. We've grown our vision team larger than ever, and that means we can focus more on the ministry opportunities that are coming our way. We still have two important goals to reach this year in order to take on some faith-stretching and desperately needed projects in 2020. We'll be sharing a lot more about those in the days to come. The first goal is to grow our vision team by another 200 people. That simply means Compassion Radio becomes part of your regular, faithful mission giving, and at a level that the Lord enables you. I know that gifts of all sizes are exactly what the Lord uses to build His kingdom around the world. If you're on a fixed income or you run a large business, your giving matters to the Lord and to His kingdom servants. Your generosity makes it possible for us to bring you some truly amazing stories and news from the front lines of faith. Think of it this way. Compassion Radio makes it possible for God's courageous people around the world to bring you a daily gift of encouragement and inspiration. We invite you inside the greatest movements of God in the history of Christianity. They're happening right now. Is that worth something to you? I certainly hope so. It's our Vision Team members that literally keep us going day to day. You can be part of that team. Secondly, we've got a year-end budget challenge of $100,000 that we simply must meet in order to make sure we can continue on the station where you hear this program every day. I'm confident in you and the Lord's provision to make that possible. Our Vision Team is leading the way on this. If you haven't given in a while, would you consider joining them to meet this special appeal? Friends, thank you so much for taking the special appeal to heart. We are truly so grateful for you.
To join the Compassion Radio Vision Team, go to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com.
When you're a prisoner of hope, there's a fire in your bones. And what I love about it most is it don't matter where you go. Yeah, we may make a wrong turn, we may stumble or get burned, we may miss the perfect mark, but the very best part is your every need. When it's harder than it seems, I will trust and believe your love's unbreakable.
We're always on mission. This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
It's not just Jerusalem anymore. These bodies around the Roman Empire that were planted by Paul are now sending.
That is a great point.
So this is the next generation.
Yes.
The centers of where God's blessing and authority are resting because they're following and obeying are being willing to send out and invest themselves in the care and nurture of other Christians in other lands. Mm-hmm. A big step forward for the Christian community to say, we're a sending body. Mm-hmm. When the church is a sending body, it grows. When it refuses to send, it shrinks. Mm-hmm. And that's always been the case throughout history. When we're willing to send, when we're willing to go, God is more than willing to bless. I'm certain of that.
Yes.
So Paul's story is evolving off in another direction. But right now, we wrap up chapter 18 with the wow factor. Now we have another generation of disciples becoming apostles being sent out. Mm-hmm. Those worlds are about to get even more interesting in the chapters to come. Mm-hmm. Honey, thank you again for spending this time together with me here to focus on what God's been doing and is doing in the entire Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. Now, friends, think about what God's doing in the empires of the world today. Are there not a lot of Romes out there now that are competing for world influence, where bodies have been raised up to infiltrate every one of those kingdoms and bring the gospel in new ways to great centers, great nodes of humanity, and how much more opportunity we have than ever before to believe that God could be on the move and to be willing to say, yes, God, wherever you want me to be active and helpful in the kingdom, to be your servant where I am or where I could be, I want to say yes.
Well, I think about how we continue to see God moving people around the map. Mm. And he took Priscilla and Aquila out of Rome. They were kicked out of Rome, took them out of there and put them in a spot where they could themselves be discipled and encouraged and work alongside the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. Planted them in another place where Apollos shows up so that they could pour into Apollos and build him up in the kingdom and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the Holy Scriptures, and then send him out back to Corinth that had been good and bad for Paul and in an earlier time. It's such a beautiful dance that's happening here in the scripture. God is just up in the heavens and he's moving things around and he is intricately involved in all of the lives that are represented in these scriptures. I see that in our own lives. I see how there have been times in our life as a married couple that we have been planted in a place thinking, God, this is where you want us to be. And we love it here. And we're going to build our life and our family here. Mm-hmm. And then God says, it's time to go, and moved us to another place, moved us across the country twice now in our marriage. We've moved across the country, and God in each instance has planted us in places that we have been poured into by others who are further down the road from us and have allowed us to pour into the lives of people coming up in the faith.
We literally would not be doing what we're doing now
Had
God not hopscotched us around this country and around the world.
Right.
And again, we weren't just jumping for opportunities in ministry, like as some kind of progression of our career. It was disruptive. We mm-hmm. literally ended up doing things we never thought we'd do mm-hmm. or doing job we had to do to survive, mm-hmm. like a lot of families do in this world.
Right.
And yet we find ourselves at the stage in our life with a responsibility and an opportunity to love on people that many of which we may not ever meet face to face until heaven.
Mm.
But it's still a great honor for me to be sitting with you to do this very work.
Yes.
And I'm grateful for you, our Compassion Radio friends, for the way that you hear us, mm-hmm. but more importantly, the way you hear and respond to God's word.
Yes.
And do it in practical ways. And hopefully we can give you more and more practical ways to do it over this season of giving before 2019 is done, because we believe that God has a plan for us at the end of this year and reaching into 2020 and beyond. We don't want to see this ministry just roll up and twilight out. We see it as a beginning, like we're in a starting gate, not a final stretch. Mm. We're just beginning.
Yes.
Thank you for standing with us in every way. Let's pray real quick, honey. Lord, I thank you so much for your word again, for the power of the narrative of how your people told your story to others and how that story resonated in ways that changed lives and how they accepted the truth of your presence, not just the truth of your existence. And in doing that, they experienced power. Lord, I pray that the same kind of power would be sneaking into the hearts of the listeners today as they hear this program, that they would be infected by the joy that we read about when your truth comes alive in hearts, mm-hmm. and that together, as we look around the world for opportunities to be enablers of your work, to be partners with your people, to join hands with apostles who are reaching new peoples, and to hear their stories, that we would take great joy from the truth that we hear, mm. that you love, that you empower, and that you bless, and that you grow your kingdom, even through adversity, especially through adversity and trials. Mm. And sometimes, Lord, even those traumatic stories of martyrship that happen to people that we love and we learn to love because of their stories. Lord, we know that you love them dearly too. And Lord, I stand amazed at the truth that even those who seem absolutely unlovable to us are the very ones that you are trying to empower us to reach.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want us to give up on your mercy and your grace by becoming hard and stiff and unyielding and uncompassionate. Mm-hmm. You want us to see the people with the kind of love you have for them that is bigger than their failures and bigger than their sins, big enough to transform them into glory for your enjoyment and in your presence forever and ever.
Mm.
Lord, help us to pray that way too. Even people who have hurt us in the past, even in situations that seem intractable, that don't seem to change at all or never will, to believe that you have a way forward, a plan, a place for us to serve you and bring glory to you and to win others by our example and by your authority and power and presence. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again. We'll see you next time on Compassion Radio and the next chapters of our Chasing the Word series in chapter 19 of Acts.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.